Well, good morning. Happy Easter. He is risen. Very good. I'm glad. Can you all hear me? Is the sound level appropriate? All those kinds of things. I'm wearing a suit of armor this morning, and so I was afraid that it might interfere with my voice. I must confess to you that as I pulled out my suit last night and tried it on this morning, it fit a little different than it did 7 or 8 years ago. I'm afraid that the dry climate of the Ranch of the Rockies has shrunk my suit. I couldn't be anything else. Easter is an interesting time of year, isn't it? It's the greatest celebration in the church, and it's magnificent. It is the centerpiece of our faith. It's a day in which so many things go through our minds. Some of which are what we wear and how we dress on Sunday mornings. Some of which is what we'll eat for lunch or supper this afternoon. I have to ask, how many of you are just preparing a meal that is slightly out of the ordinary or different today than any other Sunday? It's okay. You don't need to be ashamed. We are. Anybody having lamb today? Oh, we need to change that. Anybody having ham? Ah, very good. Excellent. Good. Anybody having quail? Okay. I just thought it was a stretch, but we'd try it anyways. Here's the interesting thing about the concept of the resurrection. Let me say a couple of things. We'll pray, and then we'll jump into our text. We live in a world that doesn't want to believe that there's life after death. And the reason that we don't want to believe, and this is just very generally speaking, the reason for that is we really don't want to think about death. We don't like the topic of death. We don't like the subject of death. And we don't like to face the reality that all of us will come to that point at some point. I'm not talking about the people in this room necessarily, but our culture and our world doesn't like the subject of death. And so as a result of not talking about death, the topic of life after death gets ignored as well. And what's very interesting is this is not only true for culture as a whole, it's true in the academy, it's true in the schools of theology. So this morning I want to give you a little bit of background, and some of the things that I'm going to say are gross overgeneralizations. Most of the things that I'm going to say I believe to be true, but there are many more things that I could say by way of detail about the history of this idea that I'm not going to say it, so I'm going to speak in generalities, and there are others in this room who can clarify infinitely better than I could. In the earliest parts of the 20th century, both in Europe, in the West, and in America, man started to come to grips with the Bible and to not like the idea of the topic of the resurrection. And so they had two choices. Either say the topic of the resurrection in the Bible needs to be removed altogether, or we need to redefine what the Bible means by the topic of resurrection and life after death. You see, what had been going on in the Western mind, both in Europe and in America, was we had become enlightened, you see, and we had grown in our knowledge and our understanding of the world to the point where the idea of life after death, the idea of somebody coming back from the dead, really couldn't be tolerated. And this idea was actually being formed in seminaries and in theological institutions around the world. And so not wanting to take these massive chunks of the Bible out, the only alternative that was left to these men was to redefine what the Bible meant by the subject of resurrection and consequently the topic of life after death. They didn't want to get rid of the Bible. They just wanted to reinvent the wheel and have it say something different than it said before. And so this is what they came up with. The idea was that resurrection was not a physical resurrection from the dead, that Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead, and that man may or may not have a future after death. But the resurrection that's talked about in the Bible is a spiritual idea or a spiritual concept. That when Jesus spoke about resurrection, when the story of the resurrection is talked about in the Bible, what it's talking about is the corpus of Jesus' teaching, and that it has the ability to resurrect the spirit and the soul and the mind of man. and that if people devote themselves to the teaching of Jesus, they will be resurrected in spirit and as a result be better people as a result of it. It was called demythologizing the Bible. In other words, the Bible is filled with myth, and we don't want to get rid of the myth, but we want to interpret the myth so that man can understand its true central thinking. I'm not making fun of this. As a matter of fact, it's the most tragic thing that can happen. There aren't so many people running around today who are formally trying to demythologize the idea of resurrection and life after death. Most of the people today are just ignoring the idea. They don't talk about it. They don't want to think about it. They don't think that it has implications for their life. The question is, however, why does man have such a big problem with the idea of life after death? And why does man have such a hard time with the idea that there will be life after death and that someone can be resurrected from the dead? Is it because we've become so enlightened that we see these things as mythological and foolish and unnecessary to believe in? Or is there greater reason as to why man rejects this idea or ignores this idea? In a few weeks' time, we're going to be looking at the narrative of the resurrection in the Gospel of Luke as we're plowing ahead in that Gospel. So today, we're not going to take a look at the narrative itself. We're going to look at some of the implications of the idea of the resurrection. And we're going to look at why man doesn't want to believe that Jesus really rose from the dead and that there's life after death. So we want to see why the Bible says it's important, and we want to see why man wants to ignore it. Because this is not a new idea. It didn't start at the beginning of the 20th century. It didn't start in Europe. It didn't start in America, this idea that the idea of resurrection is just a myth. It's been around for a long time. The Sadducees in Jesus' day, in the first century, declared with confidence that there is no resurrection. And these were men who were part of the religious establishment of the day. They were men who taught in the temples and the synagogues. These were men who were experts in the law of God. And they said, there is no resurrection from the dead. Now, why in the world would these kinds of men say, there is no resurrection from the dead? And why do we live in a culture that just wants to ignore that idea? Let me pray real quickly, then we'll look at a couple of passages of the Bible, and hopefully I'll answer the questions that I've posed to us this morning. Father in heaven, we know and we rejoice in the fact that if it were not for the resurrection of your Son from the dead, there would be no payment for the penalty of sin. But Lord, it goes infinitely beyond that. There are so many implications and importances And the reality that the resurrection is central to the entirety of Scripture has to be grasped by us, your people. And I hope that today I would be clear enough for us to begin to understand why the resurrection is so critical. That why we should be a people who not only give you praise for the resurrection of your Son, but we should live in light of the reality that we will live as resurrected people as well. So, Father, we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to be starting at verse 39. Now, this is a passage that I have referred to in the past, in the distant past, on other occasions for other reasons, but today I want us to see the centrality of the resurrection. By the way, before I jump in here, if you look at our bulletin, the Bible's fairly central to what we do here. We read a lot of scripture that's intentional. We want God's word to be heard repeatedly in our midst because God's word will never fail us. In the book of Acts, we have not only the history of the beginning of the church, but we have an awful lot of the apostles' preaching. And if you were to go through and do a study of the preaching of the apostles that is found in the book of Acts, and if I call it the Gospel of Acts, which I've been doing all morning in my preparation, forgive me. See, Acts is actually volume 2 of the Gospel of Luke, or a continuation, if you will, of the Gospel of Luke. And so on occasion I call Acts a gospel, but that's not right. But anyways, the point is that each one of the sermons by the apostles in the book of Acts, the central figure or the central idea or the most important theological concept is the resurrection in the book of Acts. And you can trace this out and see this. The portion of the Acts that we're going to look at this morning very briefly is Peter's first sermon. And what he is doing is saying, this is the content of not only my preaching, but the apostles' preaching. He is telling them what he's going to preach and why he's going to preach it, in other words. So let me read verses 39 and following. We are witnesses of all the things Jesus did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So here's the beginning of the content of Peter's preaching as he outlines it in the Gospel of, the Gospel of Acts, the book of Acts, and we'll see why this is important and what Peter is saying and why he is saying it. The first thing he says is Jesus physically died on the cross, visibly seen by man as he died, as he breathed his last. We were witnesses to that fact. Not only did that occur, we were witnesses to him being resurrected, and we saw him in bodily form. We saw him with our eyes, and not only did we see him with our eyes, and not only was this not merely a spiritual resurrection, it was a physical resurrection, and Peter is very clear to state, we sat down with him, and we shared meals with him following his resurrection. Did you notice that's what it says? He's not saying we had meals with him prior to his death, but we had meals with him after his resurrection. Peter makes a specific claim, and that is Jesus rose again from the dead physically, and we shared and broke bread with him and drank wine with him, and we saw him and we touched him. Why is that important? It is as if Peter anticipated the thinking of the theologians in the 20th century, who wanted to make the death and resurrection of Jesus something merely spiritual that would make us feel good about ourselves. Jesus is still in the grave, but when it talks about resurrection, it's not physical, it's merely spiritual. Peter says quite the contrary. It was a physical resurrection after a physical death, and I ate with him. Okay, now here's the point. Why is this important? Why is the content of this gospel message so critical? Because you can't do what these theologians and what our culture wants to do. You cannot rewrite the Bible. It says what it says. It says it in the language which it says. And they would have been better off in the Western world to say, we're going to remove these parts of the scripture rather than to say they mean something other than what they say. Does that make it clear? Peter makes it absolutely fundamentally clear. Jesus died physically. He rose again physically. I ate and drank with him, and so on and so forth. Man cannot rewrite the Bible. Now, man can reject the Bible. Man can say, I don't want to believe the Bible. And that's a very, very fair thing to do. It will send you to hell. But don't try to rewrite the Bible and say it says something other than what it says, because Peter and all the apostles do not give us that option. That's point number one I want us to see. Now, he continues, verse 42. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one, in other words, Jesus is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Now here comes the big reason why people don't like the idea of resurrection and life after death. This is the biggest reason why it is either ignored or denied. Peter says that in the words of Jesus, Jesus taught us what to preach. And what he taught us to preach was that following his resurrection, he has been appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. That following the resurrection of Christ, he ascended into heaven, he took his seat at the right hand of God the Father, and from there he will judge the living and the dead. In other words, there will be a resurrection to life for every man, woman, and child who is on this earth, and following that death and that resurrection, what waits them is to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for their life here and now. Judged on what they believed about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does man deny the idea of the resurrection? Because to accept the fact that there is resurrection, to accept the fact that there is life after death, is to accept the fact that there is something greater than me out there who has the right to judge me. And I don't like judgment. I don't want to face judgment. This was the biggest problem with the Sadducees. You see, they wanted to live a lifestyle of self-justification, saying, while they were here and now, I am living a life good enough so that I don't have to face judgment. And if I admit that there is life after death, if I admit that there is a resurrection after my death, then I have to admit that there is something bigger than me who can place judgment on who I am. Friends, categorically, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the reason why not only the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but our own death and our own mortality and our own idea that there is life after death is ignored in our culture, even by us, is because we don't want to face the reality of judgment. That's the facts. Because for me to have to talk about what happens after I take that last breath, and for me to be transported from one place to someplace else, and for me to face anything beyond myself, is to have to admit that there is something greater, grander, bigger than me out there. And the Bible says that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he has been granted the power of God to judge the living and the dead. And that is the significance of the resurrection, that he has been raised up, that God has said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, and his sacrifice is acceptable to me, and he has the right to judge all others who will be brought to resurrection life following their death. Now, folks, this is the interesting thing, you see. This is the heart of the gospel. That we need to be talking about the reality that there is life after death. We need to be a people who talk about the reality that we're all going to die. That there will be a day when the last breath comes out of our mouth, and that there will be a resurrection, and that we will face judgment. But see, we hear those words death, and we hear those words judgment, and we hear those words life after death, and they're terrifying concepts, aren't they? They're the kinds of words and things that we really don't want to think about. I don't want to all that much. But what if it was what we rejoiced in and hoped for? What if it was that which gave us confidence as opposed to terror? What if it was that which we need not dread? What if it was that moment when all of a sudden faith was exchanged and sight replaced? What if we were a people who trusted the judgment of Christ? What if we were a people who lived in the confidence of knowing that what he has done has replaced my evil and my sin, and I can face his judgment with confidence? You see, the message of the Bible is we are all eternal beings. That we will all have eternal life following our last breath here. It's just a function of where we're going to spend it. And that's a reality. But see, for the believer, for the person whose hope and faith and trust and confidence is in the person and the work and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that last breath is to be celebrated. Exchanging faith for sight is a moment to be longed for. Our days are numbered here, and we do not do anything to hasten the days that God has given us, and yet we are a people who deny those days will come to an end. We are a people who do not live in light of the resurrection. One more problem for our good friends. Let me just turn over to John and those who have a problem with the concept of the resurrection. These are Jesus' words. I'm in John chapter 5. I want to read this passage. Jesus is teaching in John chapter 5, verse 19, "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life.'" You see, the problem with those who want to make resurrection just a spiritual thing, the problem with those who don't want to recognize the reality that we will all breathe our last at some point, have to do away with Jesus as well as the apostles. They can't just make Jesus some spiritual guy who taught great teachings, because Jesus' teachings were about his own death, his own resurrection, and his own right to judge the living and the dead. So the point I'm trying to make, and I'm not sure I'm doing it well, is this. To deny the resurrection, to deny life after death, to ignore it, to act as if it's not going to happen, even if we do have some belief that it will, is to deny the entirety of the New Testament teaching. It is to deny the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to deny the apostolic record that we have in the entirety of Scriptures. So what we're left with really and truly is either do away with the Bible and be honest about it and say, "I don't believe what it says," or to embrace what it says and to recognize and acknowledge its truth and Jesus' right to rule and to judge. But it doesn't give us that middle ground. It doesn't give us that reinterpretation. It doesn't give us that, it can mean something other than what it says, because it says what it says, and we either have to do away with the person of Jesus and his followers, or we need to embrace them. Last point I want to make is found in Romans chapter 4, and I'll just read this verse to you, but I can give it to you after the service if you're interested. Because I want us to see how central the doctrine of the resurrection is to the church and what we believe. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. "He was delivered over because of our sins, and he was raised for our justification." Folks, memorize this verse. Jesus died for our sins, and we are justified because he was raised. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Jesus died for our sins, and we are justified by his resurrection. And if we are justified by putting faith and confidence in the work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection, we need no fear of our own resurrection. We can stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, "You did it." And that is enough. So you have people in your life, no doubt. You may be one who fears, who worries about what's going to come when that last breath escapes your mouth. You may have friends or family or be one who ignores the fact that it's coming and doesn't want to talk about it. If you are one of those, I would relish more than anything talking to you about why death and resurrection is a great thing. If there is someone in your life that you do not have the confidence of knowing what's going to happen to them when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there's nothing more important that you can talk to them about. They may reject it. They may not want to talk to you about it. But there is nothing more significant that you can lay before them than the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ waits to judge the living and the dead. But that may, should not, should ever be something to fear if we have relationship with God through Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who died because of our sins. And unfortunately, far too often, we leave it there. And we fail to see the massive significance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. Forgive us for being a people who fail to acknowledge that we ourselves will die and be resurrected and face judgment. Forgive us for being a people who don't live in light of that reality. Father, death has lost its sting for those who have been justified by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.